As I said, today is the last day of our Holy Habits series. All summer, we've been focused on faith practices that help us love God and our neighbor, listen to the Spirit, and become more like Jesus. Today, our focus is on engaging Scripture. To understand this faith practice, imagine receiving a letter from someone who you love, perhaps someone you haven't seen or heard from in a while. And then compare that to the ways in which you might read a newspaper, if it actually gets delivered to you, or skim the headlines on a website. There are different ways of reading, aren't there? Engaging with the Bible is different from studying a textbook, reading the news, or scrolling and swiping our way through our social media feeds. We're not skimming for information or inspiration or scavenging for doctrinal bullet points. Instead, we faithfully engage the Bible on its own terms as participants, listening to the story and living out the story, living out that script. It's God's story, and we're in it. We're seeking formation rather than information. Engaging with Scripture requires unhurried time and an open heart. If the purpose of our reading is to be addressed by God, we need to practice attentive listening and a willingness to respond to what we hear. The Bible itself teaches us how we're to approach God's word. Words the Bible uses for how we interact with Scripture include meditate, reflect, look intently, dwell, ponder, consider, and even eat. And the phrase that summarizes all of this process is scriptural engagement. When we engage with Scripture, we can expect to encounter the divine presence in its pages, not because the words mechanically or magically contain God's presence, but because we allow the same Spirit through which the Scriptures were written to inform our listening. And then the presence of God in and beyond those words becomes alive for us once more. In a certain sense, when we're engaged in spiritual reading, it's not so much we who read the Word as the Word who reads us. Hebrews chapter 4 puts this in powerful, if a little bit uncomfortable, language. Indeed, it says, the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing until it divides soul from spirit, joints from marrow. It's able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. If we are open, God's word will penetrate to our very depths, discerning our secret motives and intentions. As the word of the Spirit, God's word reveals us truthfully to ourselves and lays open to radical transformation those points in us that are unlike Christ. There is absolutely a place for biblical scholarship and informational study. I hope so. I spent 3 long years in graduate school doing that. And that kind of study is really important for us to correctly understand and hear God's word to us. But that type of study can't take the place of engaging Scripture in a way that transforms our whole selves, not just our minds. Like all spiritual disciplines, engaging Scripture in this way takes practice. Reading and meditating on Scripture means that we sink into the words and open ourselves to their meaning in our lives. Instead of analyzing or judging the text, we receive it as given and attend to what may be spoken to us through it. There are lots of different ways for engaging Scripture, and because we all have different personalities and different learning styles, one may work better for you than it does for me, and vice versa. And also, the Bible is really more like a library than a single book. There are many authors and literary genres contained in these 66 books of the Bible, so different ways of engaging with them are required. I'm going to share with you some practices that might be helpful for you in engaging Scripture. I want to preface all of them by saying that the root meaning of the word meditate, it's hagah in Hebrew if you're really interested in that, is to murmur or mumble, which implies that meditation involves making some sort of audible sound. It can be really helpful to speak aloud while practicing many of these techniques, to read the Scripture aloud. That engages our bodies as well as our minds. It helps encode the text in our memory and keeps us alert and focused, helps our mind not to drift. So as you think about which of these practices will work best for you, or you try one that you've never tried before, think about reading it aloud as part of that practice. So the first of the practices that I would suggest for engaging Scripture is to write a paraphrase of what you have read. Put the text in your own words, maybe even elaborate on it. Let me give you an example of this. The psalmist wrote that the word of God is sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. And not many of us eat honey straight from a honeycomb these days, which means that we can understand this metaphor, but we can't really experience it. Instead, what if we wrote a paraphrase of this line? Something like, God's words are sweeter than the finest chocolate, richer than the thickest vanilla custard, more deeply satisfying than a caramel latte. You get the idea, right? Reword the text in a way that makes it meaningful to you and your experience. You might even keep this in a notebook or a journal for future reflection as you paraphrase the text. Usually when I do this, I write out the text from my Bible, and then I might elaborate on it in these ways. Secondly, another way to engage with scripture is to try emphasizing different words or phrases, and reading the text aloud really helps with this. So read it out loud and emphasize a different word each time, taking time to think about each one. Focus on one word at a time and chew on it for all it's worth. So for example, Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in us in advance for us to do. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. You can see the difference the accent makes. Placing the accent on a different word in the sentence gives us slightly different nuances of meaning and application and can yield some surprising insights. So resist the urge to read the text the way you always have. There may be something you've missed simply because you've placed the accent in the same place all the time. Another way to experience Scripture, and this is one of my favorites that really works for me, is to use holy imagination. That's a term used by Ignatius of Loyola. He was convinced that God can speak to us as surely through our imagination as through our thoughts and memories. I find that this works best with narratives in the Scripture, so from the Gospels or the books of Acts or some of the Old Testament stories, but it can work with other genres too, especially the Psalms. So you slowly read through a passage or listen to it. I like to do this with the Bible app on my phone because it will read it to me, and then my imagination is free. Read or listen to the passage and then begin to imagine the scene as if you're standing right there. What's around you? Who else is there? What do you hear? What noises are in the house or on the street outside? What are the smells you can pick up? And then begin to imagine the scene that you read about. Who's in it? What conversations take place? What's the mood? Is it tense or joyful or confused or angry? And put yourself in the place of different people in the story. See if that changes what God might be saying to you. For some scriptures, especially those written in first person, as many of the Psalms are, we engage with them by personalizing them. So pray the psalm aloud with the passion that it requires. When the psalmist cried, my God, why have you abandoned me? What tone of voice do you think he used? Was it spoken out of frustration, or disappointment, or anger, or doubt, or fear? Speak the words of the psalm as if you were actually saying them in your situation. When the psalm says, shout aloud to the rock of your salvation, do you actually shout? You should try it. Do you smile a bit when you recite prayers of celebration? Do you speak with confidence when you say, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? Say it like you mean it. Make the words your own. For God so loved me. Finally, and maybe most challenging, one of the best ways to engage with Scripture is to memorize the words. Now, I know that this gets harder as we get older. I can still recite for you all kinds of verses from the King James Version that I learned when I was in GAs and ACT teens. Patty and I were talking about that this week, or maybe last week, sometime, how those verses have stuck with me. It's a little bit harder as I've gotten older, but you absolutely can do it, and it's really important. Committing verses to memory allows you to take it with you wherever you go. You can recall it throughout the day, incorporate it into your prayers, and share it with others who need to hear a word from God. Colossians 3:16 tells us to let the word dwell in us richly. So in order for the word of God to live in us, we have to plant it in our hearts and minds through the discipline of memorization. For me, it's easiest to do this by repeatedly writing the words of Scripture and then reading them aloud. And it may take days or months, but this is what works for me. Or you might make it a practice to read the same passage several times a day until the words start to seep into your memory. Put them on a card and stick them in your car and when you're stopped at a red light or waiting on a prescription or an appointment. Pull out that card instead of scanning through your phone or listening to the radio and repeat those words. You'll begin to experience that scripture. Find those scriptures in song form. Most of what I remember because I can sing it. As I messed up this verse, your word is a light unto my, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. But if I was singing the Amy Grant version of Thy Word, I wouldn't miss a single word. Right? Music helps us to memorize, and there are wonderful songs full of scripture that can help you to remember those words. And these and other methods of engaging with scripture allow God to shape us. After all, the aim of our Bible reading is participation in God's life and mission. I learned as I was preparing the sermon that in Latin, and I don't speak Latin, so I'm going to say these words incorrectly, and I apologize for those of you who know how they should be pronounced. There's this lovely verbal link between the word for listening, which is audire, and the word for living or obedience, which is av audire. That underscores for me the necessary posture of ready obedience for understanding the Bible. Eugene Peterson notes, a simple act of obedience will open up our lives to this text far more quickly than any number of Bible studies and dictionaries and concordances. When we faithfully engage with Scripture, then we are formed into obedient participants in God's story. That's what James wants us to understand when he challenges us to be not just hearers, but doers of God's word. One way that I've been engaging with Scripture in the last year or so is reading from the First Nations version. I've shared that in sermons some in the past year. It is an indigenous translation of the New Testament, and reading it has given me a fresh perspective and allowed me to hear God's voice in new ways. This is how it translates part of our passage from James. Make sure you do not fool yourselves. You must not only hear this message, you must also walk in its truth. Take a good long look into the perfect way of life, the law of love that sets people free. Stay true to its message, not forgetting what you have heard, but walking in all its ways, and Creator's blessing will rest on all you do. We began worship today with a portion of the Jesus Storybook Bible, which ends this way after the telling of John's revelation. John came to the end of his book, but he didn't write the end, because of course, that's how stories finish, and this one's not over yet. So instead, he wrote, "Come quickly, Jesus," which perhaps is really just another way of saying, "To be continued." The last page of that storybook Bible is a paraphrase of John 1:12-13. For anyone who says yes to Jesus, for anyone who believes what Jesus said, for anyone who will just reach out to take it, then God will give them this wonderful gift to be born into a whole new life, to be who they really are, who God always made them to be, their own true selves, God's dear child. Because you see, the most wonderful thing about this story is it's your story too. God is continuing to tell God's story through each of us. We've been given the gift of the Bible so we can know God and learn more about God. We have an opportunity to live our story and be part of the bigger story being told. So the question is, how will we take advantage of that opportunity? Will we engage with Scripture and be transformed by God's word? My prayer is that the answer to that question is yes. Will you pray with me? Jesus, word of life, we thank you for the gift of the Bible, which helps us to know who you are and who we are as your children. Help us to hear these words, to be transformed by them, and to live them out. In your name we pray. Amen.